something, right? It's not the next, so we may need to go to return.
Right there.
Return. I'm going to take this one. Yeah, I think we're good. All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Matan Inbar. I'm from plastic industry. You probably hear by my accent that I'm not from the US. I'm from Israel, based in Israel. And we're going to focus of this presentation will be contamination and our proactive actions towards cotton contamination. Before that, I will say a few words about who is Tama for those of you who are not familiar with us yet, and then a few words about the round model concept, and then we'll focus on cotton contamination. So if I'm missing my time limit, let me know. Yeah, all right. So who is Tama? Tama was founded in 1950. Tama developed, produced, and sell crop packaging products. We have a slide in a minute. I will explain more details. We have about 1,700 employees all over the world, and it is a private corporate owned by two kibbutz organizations. Now, if I had more time, we'd probably talk a few hours about what is a kibbutz. I'll try to explain it in a few words in three slides from now. What do we produce? We produce net trap, we produce baler twines, we produce pallet and turf nets, and of course we produce what is called at some places a John Deere wrap, and we call RMW or cotton wrap or wrap. It is all related to the same product, which is the RMW, the wraps for round models of cotton for John Deere cotton harvesters. So as you see, those are all plastic products, mainly from polyethylene and polypropylene. And this is our expertise, this is what we know to do, and this is what we're focusing on. Group structure, so as we said, two kibbutz organizations in Israel hold this private corporate. We have 10 production sites, some in Israel, some outside of Israel, and we have 16 sales and marketing organizations, whereas we have a sales and marketing organization in every main market for our products. And of course, the US is probably the main and most important market for our products. There are here two representatives from Tama USA, Mike Bieber and Nolan Sapp, sitting in the second line. Some of you may already know them. What does a sales and marketing company do? Sales and marketing company has a strong knowledge of CPP products, baler twines, net trap, RMW. Sales and marketing company provide training programs, support, aftermarket services that the sales and marketing company need to provide. And of course, it also sell and hold warehouses in the relevant market. So, kibbutz. This is where we live. This is where I live, and Nachem will sit in here. He's the R&D manager for the RMW, for the cotton wraps. We live here. Imagine yourself a small town, very small town. However, unlike a small town in USA, in our small town, all of the shareholders, all of the members who live in this town own equally the productive assets. So meaning we all have the same goal, that is to increase our productive assets, and so we all can enjoy from the profits when we have, or we all suffer from the losses when there are losses. So this is really, 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 in a nutshell, trying to explain our way of living. And for more details, you're more than welcome to ask questions or come later on or come to visit us. In Israel, this is an open invitation for everybody. The other point regarding a kibbutz, that except for a Tama plastic industry, we have a farm. You can see the picture, all the fields that across from the kibbutz belong to us. We have a pretty good size, well, in Israel, they're a pretty good size agricultural activity, dairy farm, poultry, beef cattle, orchards, and field crops, including cotton, And we also have a fleet of contract harvesting. We have four or five 7760s. They buy at the full price the RAPs from Tama, and they use them in our field and when we do contract harvesting for others. So we really, literally use our products in our fields. A few words about the round model concept. It's been 10 years now, so I assume most of you or all of you know what it is, but just to be clear on that, it is a joint venture between John Deere, of course, who developed the cotton harvester, and Tama, we, which developed the RMW, or the RAP, or the John Deere RAP. And it is a joint venture, and I think John Deere did here something really, really great. Really great. Of course, we enjoy from it, and I assume, I hope, that you and your producers enjoy from it as well. So before diving into the contamination issues, just a few words about the RAP. So the RAP basically was designed to withstand several violent actions. First of all, the ejection and unload from the cotton harvester to the field. It was designed to hold 6 months in the field, regardless of the weather. It can be snow up in Kansas, and it can be very, very humid and hot temperatures in South Texas and other places. The RAP was designed to withstand all those temperatures. And of course, it was designed to withstand the uploading and downloading using many different loading devices, which your producers probably use. With all that, and as a fact, there are some contamination issues. Now, looking from a top-down point of view, just trying to analyze where contamination can come from. So the main factor which may lead to cotton contamination are contaminated fields from previous season or from that season. Those are all true pictures. I will not tell you where they were taken and when, just that it was taken in the U.S. this season, okay? Because we don't want to say at which field it was taken, but this is as a fact. Contamination can come from RAP issues. We will be the first one to admit that the RAP is not perfect. It is 99.9% perfect, and there is 0.1% that issues may happen. Issues may also happen at the cotton harvester. You can see at the bottom picture, and that can contribute to contamination. Two other factors that may lead to contamination are the, let's call it, uncareful rendezvous between harvesting and loading equipment and the round model itself. And the fourth factor, and I know you don't like to hear it, but it can also come from improper handling at the gin. Now, I put here pictures from a gin in Australia, so you don't think I'm pointing a finger to a gin in the US. Yet, it may happen, as we all know. By the way, this is a moon buggy, I think. We had a discussion yesterday with somebody. Are you familiar with this machine, the moon buggy? Very nice one. Yeah. So what do we do? What is our proactive actions to cotton contamination? And the list is open, by the way. It's not like we have all the knowledge and all the expertise. It is an open list. At the end, I will encourage you to ask questions and suggest more ideas. An overview of what we do. So we apply the Tamacat indicator on the RMW. I'll have a slide in a minute just to make sure everybody is aware of that. We provide awareness program to genes all across the U.S., not just in the U.S. However, we focus here now in the U.S., so awareness programs to genes in the U.S. We are in the development process of RAP specs with minimum risk of contamination. I'll try to explain it in a minute. And in contamination detection, there are two subcategories. So the first category is what just now companies presented. Support, we support the visual solution, which was led by the USDA until now. And we're also looking to develop a non-visual solution because, as we all understand, visual solution has its great advantages. However, there are some disadvantages in visual solutions, and this is where we're trying to bring up to speed a different solution, which is not based on visual contact between the pieces of plastic and the detector itself. And the last thing is we support industry researchers who are dealing with cotton contamination, where it comes from, how it happens, and so on. So Tamakat indicator, the rationale is that some of the contamination may come from improper handling at the gene. And the goal is to assist gene operators in finding the correct the correct area to cut, or what we call the recommended cutting zone. And this is where we added the Tamakat indicator. There is a video, but I think we're short in time, so I will not show it. The idea is that there is a specific area in which we highly recommend to cut, unwrap the round model. It is marked very clearly, on each and every round model. Of course, it is not always easy to cut it in this place. It's always depend where the how the round model is staged when it is arriving to the gene yard. Yet it is there, and it is fully implemented to all of 2019 production wraps. We started to do that in 2018. Not all of the wraps in 2018 production had this sign. And in 2019, all of 2019 production wraps will have this Tamakat indicator, this very, very clear sign on them. Again, I'm going to skip the video because we're short in time, and I can show it later on to those of you who will be willing to see it. Awareness program at the genes. So the goal here is to provide the genes with some training, how to cut, where to cut, what to look for on a model. It's all very obvious. I guess most of you know that already, and you can say it by heart when we will wake you up in the middle of the night. Yet we have the team here, Tama USA team, Mike Nolan and others, that are more than willing to contact your operators, or to contact you as geners, and come and share with you the knowledge and experience that we gathered, and try to together with you to minimize the risk of contamination. So this is the awareness programs to the gene, again led by Tama USA team. Develop. So develop wrap with minimum risk of contamination. The goal here is to develop a wrap which, regardless where you cut it, regardless how much times cotton harvester may hit it, or how much time a tractor with a front loader may have dragged it on the ground, it will have, I cannot say zero, but close to zero risk of contamination. And this is where we are trying to head ourselves. The status of this action item is, all I can say, that we are doing field trials, so this is a pretty preliminary stage, not ready yet, because with all that, we want to have this wrap at exactly the same price as our wrap today, meaning not to increase the price, because it's very easy to, let's say, to make a wrap from metal, which will have zero risk of contamination, yet the price of such wrap will be probably very high. So what we're trying to do here is to play between those two elements, from one hand to really reduce the risk of contamination, and from the other hand to maintain the same costs and the same price to your producers, to US producers and to your producers. And develop contamination detection solution. Visual detection is in process. It's running. We are supporting it as much as we can with different colors and stuff. Yet here we are focusing on detection of pre-marked pieces of plastic without visual contact between the pieces and the detector. Okay, this is where the difference between the visual system and the non-visual system lies. The idea is to add a special additive to the wraps in the production process of the wraps, and to have a suitable, let's call it reader or detector, at the gene. The optimal location of this reader and the development of this reader is in development process. We are cooperating here with Lumos, and the status is really initial stages of development. Unlike Bratney, I cannot say next year we have a product ready to market, because it's not there. However, we are working on it. And just to show you a proof of concept, and this more or less will be the end of the presentation. So here's a proof of concept of something we already showed during contamination summit held back in May with the national cotton team and the National Cotton Gin Association, I think, was also there. And so this is just to understand as a proof of concept where we are going or what we're trying to do. I would also like to encourage you to have a look at the great video which was developed by the NCC. I hope most of you already saw it, and if not, please take your time. It's about 39 minutes, right? 39 minutes. Take your time and have a look on that. It will also help all of us to have a better and cleaner cotton than what we have today. Okay, so there is here one more minute, I guess. Okay, so now it will be again just in slow motion, and you can see the peak on the screen that detects when it is sensing, not really seeing, but sensing the piece of plastic which was pre-marked with a special additive without the need of visual contact. Okay, those are the parameters we achieved during this proof of concept that we did back in April. And I think that this is about it. Questions, suggestions, and comments from the audience. Or you're too tired. Okay. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for Tam's continued support and efforts in this arena. It's this contamination situation is getting very critical, and it's going to take a lot of work from a lot of different areas to get it worked out. But that's the goal. We're going to get it down to